Good afternoon and welcome back to the second hour of the Weekly Technology Show. I'm joined by Alexander McNabb, a director at Spot On PR. Alexander.
Good afternoon.
And the ladies.
And the ladies.
You're all on your own today in the studio. And we're talking all about
food. I hadn't thought about that. Help!
You're in safe hands. You're a bit of a foodie, aren't you, Alexander?
I do like my food, yes, yeah. I do.
I understand. You like to cook.
I like cake. Everyone loves cake. No, I do. I love to cook. I'm the principal cook in our household. I've always cooked.
You used to write a food blog, too?
I used to write a food magazine, actually. I used to run a food magazine, Spinney's Living in the Gulf. It was launched by me. And then after that sort of experience, that was an amazing one because, like, for 2 years, somebody paid me to cook and to chart what I was doing and take photographs and stuff. But afterwards, it was such a relief to be able to cook food without sort of detailing it. And then a couple of years later, we launched a food blog, The Fat Expat, which is the first food blog in the
You were on the show.
Middle East. We were on your show. We came here doing a tasting of chili sauces, if I remember. But that was all in the dim, distant parts of time. And the Fat Expat is now a very, very dead blog. And I'm so glad, because if I stack it up against any of these guys here, it's just going to get nailed. Well, guys and girls, it's just nailed, because The Fat Expat looks just so wrong and old and kludgy, and the photography is horrible, and the writing's not very good. And these guys have got amazing, glitzy, fabulous blogs.
So you're a voyeuristic
blogger. Yes, a voyeuristic. Well, I'm a food blog reader. Have great fun reading them.
Well, and tell us, what is the technology angle here?
The technology angle?
Yes. This was yours and Rama's concoction, I must say.
They're blogs, and that justifies us talking about food for an hour.
Yes, right.
Yep. At lunchtime,
well,
yeah.
At lunchtime, exactly. I mean, put those two together. Perfect discussion for a technology show. Well, it is, actually. We've got loads of questions for our bloggers in the studio. And let's, without further ado, let's go around the table and say hello and welcome to everybody. It's great to be joined by Francine Spearing, who writes Life in the Food Lane. She is a culinarian. Great word there. And incorrigible gourmand with a cooking degree from Le Cordon Bleu in Paris. And she's really had some amazing experience, I think, from cooking and experiencing different foods from around the world, having lived in Amsterdam, New Orleans, Cairo, a small little island, coastal town, I should say, and the Malaysian part of Borneo, and now Dubai. So, Francine, welcome. Good to see you.
Bet you didn't
eat
well in
here.
Cairo.
Yes. Next to Francine, we have Dima Al-Sharif, who is a Jordanian national living and working in Dubai. She's a food artisan with a passion for food and food preparation. You've had a real amazing background in food and started very young, I believe, with your own family in the kitchen with them. And then you started offering bespoke catering services to the Dubai market in 2006. And this is really interesting. I want to find out more about this. You're also known for creating highly innovative and artistic themed birthday and party cakes.
Alexander will be happy.
Yes, yes, I love cake.
Yes,
can
indeed.
Can I mention that?
Yes. And then in 2009, she started a series of specialised culinary courses that she conducts herself under the theme of iCook specialised culinary courses. And now you're a dedicated instructor and demonstrator of Foodima. Welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you. Pleasure's mine.
Good to see you. Well, next to Dima, we have, where are you? There you are, Samantha Wood of Foodiva, wonderful blog. It's a website dedicated to impartial, intelligent restaurant reviews. And it brings you your own sort of critique of where to dine, what to eat, and where to buy it. She's also the editor at large for ITP's monthly gourmet magazine, freelance journalist, and a communications consultant. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And a little birdie's been telling me that you've been fighting off Italian chefs recently.
Yes, a little bit, yes.
I want to hear
all
about
documented
that.
On the site.
Yes. See, it's technology related. There we go. And last but by no means least, it's wonderful to be joined by Samantha Wood. Sorry, that was you. Of Sarah Walton, that's it, Sarah Walton, who writes The Hedonista.
Hello.
She's managed restaurants, been a sommelier, a waiter, a bottle shop attendant, written a very small wine magazine, been a grape sales rep, and had your very own grape website, and has brought some wonderful food for us today as well. So thank you very much. Great to see
Welcome.
You, Sarah.
Great to see you too.
So, ladies, where should we start?
Let's start with rude Italians.
Rude Italians. Oh, and I'm sorry, I just wanted to also say, who's just come back from the slow... That's Francine.
That would be me, yes.
Slow food.
But the great thing about that...
I want to talk about that as well.
Is we can wait for that.
Very, very slowly so.
Let it simmer.
So rude Italians.
Rude Italians. So Food Diva goes reviewing a restaurant. Take it up, Samantha. Tell us what happened.
Okay, 3 weeks ago, just over 3 weeks ago, I reviewed a new Italian restaurant in town by the name of Giannino at Maidan Beach Club. I posted the review, published it, and basically what happened that evening, Sunday evening, the number two chef of the restaurant in Milan, the chef de cuisine, so reporting to the executive chef, made a statement, a comment on the post. I started to read it. He was making a lot of sense and really quite reasonable comments, and then the language got a little bit vulgar and a little bit colourful.
Which we won't say here on the radio.
But he went off the deep end in spades.
Yes. And as a result of that, the comments were flooding through over 3-4 days, and then it basically went viral. The Telegraph picked up on it, the Daily Mail, Corriere della Sera, so it escalated.
How did they pick up on it? Do you know?
Through their own media monitoring.
Sharing?
Really. Yeah.
Sharing,
yeah.
People share. Have you seen this?
Yeah. Right. How many followers do you have? Do you know how many hits you have on your site?
Yeah, I mean, that post itself on one day alone garnered 10,000 page views when it hit.
Gosh.
Yeah. So just to backtrack a little bit, you went to Giannino's and you had a meal there. You were with a companion who was a chef. You yourself were a very experienced food writer and you've been involved in the food industry, I think, pretty much all your life. You actually enjoyed the meal.
The irony of it is sometimes before I press that publish button, I kind of say a little prayer and hope for the best. But this one, actually, the review was very complimentary to the food. The main issue was the high price. But I think what's actually happened is a lot of that review was lost in translation. If you take that review and put it into Google Translate, in Italian, it probably comes out different. So some of the language and the tongue-in-cheek language there was actually completely lost.
And this lovely idea that, you know, you've got a world today where people will take what you write and put it into Google Translate and it comes out, you know, you might say, I had a lovely meal and the chef smells of anchovies. Is what comes out the other end of Google Translate. You know, the village congratulates you on your daughter's fecundity. What's going on here? And so you got this lovely idea that this guy could well have taken a positive review, stuck it in Google Translate, and then gone off the deep end.
Surely he's got, I mean, it sounds like a very sort of well-known top chef. I mean, surely someone, he has advisors who would be able to read it to him or... I don't know.
Well, surely a top executive chef, or sorry, not even executive chef, a top chef, would have the nonce to know that you don't do that to a blog in the first place.
Obviously not. And so what's the final outcome then? What's been happening since?
Well, Maidan actually posted their own statement a few days after, basically releasing themselves of responsibility.
Well, it is really.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not
exactly.
Their,
it was a very fair statement.
Yeah.
And as a result, that's the only thing the only actual feedback that we've had. There's nothing has come as of yet.
So there's no
Giannino
apology or anything come
absolutely
to you?
Absolutely nothing, no.
And did you reply or did you just
let
it go?
Yes, no, I did. I wasn't going to initially because I didn't want to rise to that, that behaviour. But the comments were escalating, so I did respond to it. But it was a very factual response, just really to the statements on the food, not really rising to the language that was actually used.
And is this the first time this has ever happened to you with regards to review?
To that extent, yes, definitely. I mean, at the end of the day, when you write a restaurant review, you encourage comments. I do. I wasn't in the past actually moderating comments. Now I have actually changed that strategy. But you have to welcome it, good and bad. But I think it's fine to disagree. It's not really fine to be disagreeable.
Mm.
And it's all about being constructive at the end of the day.
If you live it again, would you rather have the unpleasantness not in your life or the traffic that it brought you?
Ooh, tricky question. Traffic! I have to say, at the end of the day, I think it's every blogger's dream for a post to go viral. So I'm not going to deny the fact that at the end of the day, it's worked out very well, very well for my site and the profile that it has.
And does it make you then think, ooh, good technique for the next one?
Not at all, because it is quite a stressful period to go through at the same time.
But obviously, I mean, you've got your reputation to... Yeah. to be aware of as well. And if you know, now you're coming out with sort of, and as you said, it wasn't uncritical anyway, so it's not like that was really what sparked it, I suppose. I'm wondering, will you think twice at all about the next time that you write a review? Or,
well, again, I mean, the irony of it is this review was actually a relatively positive review, on, in particular on the food. I am very careful with my reviews. I like to think that I'm constructive, I'm balanced. If I don't like something or if something doesn't work, I give a reason for it or an explanation. And that's always happened. Mm. So that's just going to continue, really. But at the end of the day, yes, you do have to be careful. But if looking back on it, I would never have thought that that would have happened to this particular review.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we all, I'm sure many of us maybe read all the various different magazines or whatever from our own countries. I mean, I'm thinking particularly about sort of AA Gill or, you know, any of these that go. And it's just, I mean, vitriolic, and it's phenomenal the stuff that people can actually get away with.
That's what people love to read.
And yeah. Well, and I think him in particular, he likes to write it too, actually.
Well, one of the great attractions is that very strong opinion. Whether that very strong opinion is positive or negative, strongly expressed opinion is really what attracts us to writing. You don't like pieces of writing saying, well, it's okay, I suppose.
Yeah, we all want the action.
Yeah.
And readers follow you for opinion at the end of the day.
Yeah,
so you do have to take quite a strong stance one way or the other. Mm.
Well, I'm just as happy reading a piece about food that is ecstatic and very, very well written than I am reading something that's a slag off. I mean, A.A. Gill's all very well, but I find him a bit...
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he does it for the sake of it sometimes, to be honest. I mean, that's sort of my opinion.
Yeah, but when somebody's, you know, obviously had a fantastic experience and makes it jump off the page, that to me is joy. That's why you read.
Who's the guy that writes in The Times?
Giles Corran, yeah.
No, the guy, the kind of, what's his name, the grey-haired guy who always takes his wife along with him on the back pages. What's his name? You know, I'll think about it. Anyone help me out here? I can never remember people's names.
No, texting competition.
Not coming to you? I'll try and find it. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break and we've got loads more to come on the show. We're talking food this afternoon. We'd love to get some of your thoughts. Where was the last best meal that you had in Dubai? Why not share some of your thoughts with us? That's all coming up after this.